Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've blessed us with throughout all this day. And now the awesome, wonderful opportunity to get back into your word. We truly thank you for it. Be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, we'll turn to Romans chapter 8. We read the first part of Romans last time, but now we'll pick it up again here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It reads, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." He's making a reference here to how our human existence, the creature, our body, is going to be turned into a new creation. We're going to have a new body, a glorified body, and looking forward to that glorified body is what he's referring to here. And that glorified body is a gift by grace from the Lord to allow us to be able to be like him for eternity. As he continues in verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Whole creation. That means everything in existence that the Lord spoke into existence on the six literal days of creation, you find back in Genesis, is groaning. It is travailing. It is decaying. Is winding down because of the curse that come upon it, because of the fall of mankind. Adam and Eve's sin brought the curse upon all creation. And it is withering, is winding down. All of created existence is winding down. As it continues, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." We, when we wake up and we have those aches and pains and woes and cares, are looking forward to, groaning, saying that it sure is going to be nice when we get that glorified body. Looking forward to that. Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Speaking of hope, you got to look at the definition of hope in the Word of God. Speaking of the confidence in the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies of God. That's what spiritual hope is all about. When we have that confidence, knowing that we are going to have that glorified body. We are going to be blessed to the Lord for eternity. That's what he's speaking of there. And it is given to us by grace. It is given to us through the love of the Lord for us. Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." The indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost within us helps our infirmities, our problems, our concerns, our cares and woes. He comforts us. 26 again, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Isn't that awesome that even if we ain't got sense enough to pray in a proper way, that we have the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost that's in there constantly communicating to the Heavenly Father on our behalf? And that is awesome. And that definitely shows the love he has for us. Verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And that gives us some peace of mind also, knowing that even if we're praying in the wrong manner, the Holy Ghost is inside of us doing it right. helping us grow and mature, and eventually, hopefully, get to that point where we are praying in the perfect will of the Lord, just like the Holy Ghost is continuously for us. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, verse 28 does not mean that everything is going to be wonderful for us while we're here. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have persecutions. We're going to have sufferings. But like you said earlier, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because all things work together for the purpose of God. There's a reason for it. We may not understand it. We may not be able to comprehend it. But even like what Job went through, that horrible experience that he went through, losing everything, even his health, there was a purpose for it. And he was blessed at the end of it. And we got to know that there's a purpose for even the sufferings that we go through, whether they are to bring us in alignment or whether they are to help us grow and to help others around us. But as long as we keep the faith, trust in the Lord, and hang on for the ride, we know that it's all going to work together for good. Read that verse 28 again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This predestinate doesn't mean it's out of our control, that it's all predetermined, it's going to happen no matter what we do. This predestinate means that there is a plan, and if you follow that plan, you're going to have all the full blessings and rewards. He predetermined that there would be an opportunity of salvation. He predetermined that He wanted mankind to serve Him and to be blessed accordingly. He predetermined that the Lord would pay the ultimate price for all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future. And He predetermined what we would have for eternity, and then made it our free will to choose to be a part of His predetermined plan or to reject His predetermined plan. So that's on us. Verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that is for sure. When we know that we have the Lord on our side, we don't have to worry. If we get taken out of this physical world, if we suffer loss physically, financially, it doesn't matter because it's all temporal. We have an everlasting existence. We have an everlasting reward. We have eternity to look forward to. So we don't have to worry about what happens in this realm because God is for us for the long haul. Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We answer to God, not to man. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us, bought us out of sin, bought us back into the family of God. Reconciliation, justified us, means found us innocent because He washed us in His blood.
Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us know there is going to be suffering. There is going to be death. As he said there, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Christians are being slaughtered all over the world, and it is on the increase. Horrible persecution of the church, the Christians, the true believers. And that does not separate us from the love of the Lord. We got to understand that this physical existence is just temporary, in other words. And what we have to look forward to is everlasting life. The death of a Christian is a movement from this realm into the next. It is a leaving of the physical world into the spiritual world, looking forward to a presence with the Lord, never be separated from him again. So in that is actually something that Paul writes about, anxiously awaiting, looking forward to that event. Now, this doesn't mean we're all supposed to just go out and kill ourselves to be with the Lord, because then we would lose the opportunity to serve the Lord. He leaves us here for a purpose, that predestinated purpose, and that is to bring honor and glory to him in such a manner and a beneficial way to help others bring honor and glory to the Lord, to help others come to be part of the family, to share the love, and to shine the light so they can see the pathway to come to the Lord and be adopted into the family and be looking forward to all the many wondrous things he has in store for us. And that is all through the love of Christ. Let's read this section again. It's so important. Bringing it back up in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, indicating that yes, there is going to be tribulation, but it's not going to separate us from Christ. Or distress, that distress that can be put upon ourselves or others can put upon us, not going to separate us from the love of Christ. Or persecution, we sure see a lot of that, like I said, but still not going to separate us from that love. Or famine, a lot of that going on around the world. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Nothing is going to separate us from the love. Can it separate us from a joyful physical existence in this realm? Yes, those things can really make life here difficult. But when we have the right kind of acknowledgement and understanding of how much the Lord loves us, we can see even through those moments of persecution, even through those hard times, that there are ways to benefit. Because as he said there earlier in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there's a purpose for it. Whether we realize it or acknowledge it or understand it, it doesn't matter because it's there and the Lord is the one that's in control. We merely have to have that hope that he was talking about earlier, that confidence in the Lord. And that acknowledgement of knowing that he loves and cares for us, and he's going to preserve us through it all. Verse 36 again. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And this killing of Christians is on the increase around the world. As we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even being killed for being a Christian, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that love. And that is so awesome. And that definitely shows the love that he has for us, to preserve us through all of that, even the horrible existence that some are going through right now. All right, now go on over to Romans in chapter 12 and pick it right up in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we would sacrifice ourselves to him. This is not talking about killing yourself for the Lord. This is talking about dedicating and devoting and committing your whole existence to the Lord. And that we do that because he did that awesome sacrifice for us. That he suffered horribly, taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, for us. For what he has done for us, it's only reasonable that we would be willing to devote our total existence to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we really submit ourselves to God, he can reveal his perfect will for us in our lives. And if we listen up to the Holy Ghost, not to ourselves, not to the world, not to other people, not to Satan, but listen only to God, then we can be revealed the perfect will of the Lord and strive to behave in the way he wants us to behave. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Addressing here one of the issues that some folks have is when they get born again, they start growing as a Christian, they go through a stage where they start puffing themselves up with pride and arrogance because they look at themselves as being better than those that have not yet become born again. They look down their nose at the world and the sinners. We need to hate the sin, but not the sinners. We need to humble ourselves and know that it is by grace that we are not still sinners bound for an eternity in hell. We got to acknowledge that and humble ourselves, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now he gets into the subject of how there's different positions that the Lord has ordained us to be in. Not everybody is going to have the same position in the kingdom being the body of the church, the body of believers, those that are the born-again Christians. Different positions, different opportunities to serve the Lord. Don't look down your nose at those that you think have a lower job than you have, and don't look up to others that have what you would consider a higher job than you, because we are all equal. Verse 4 again, for as We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All of these are centered around the key word, love. If we truly have the kind of love that we're instructed to have, if we truly express that love, then we're going to be fulfilling these things that Paul is teaching the church at Rome, how to be Christian, how to behave in a Christ-like manner, how to really distribute and show the love of God, which is poured upon us, that we can then in turn share with others. Because when we truly love God, we fulfill those two great commandments, which he emphasized, which thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we find that over in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And when we truly do that, then that brings in all these things that Paul just wrote about here to the church at Rome that we can apply in our lives in the proper walk as Christian. And that love is given to us. We merely need to open up and let the love of God flow from us out into the world, share it. Shine that light so they can see the pathway to come to the Lord and be looking forward to all the many, many wondrous blessings and all the love that he pours upon us each and every day. Roll right on into chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, where it reads, Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This can be challenging at times because he's not just talking about the religious leaders. He's talking about governmental systems. So we don't stand out as a criminal or as someone evil that is against civilization. The system of government rule is ordained or established by God. He established the governmental system. Now, whether it be a hierarchy such as a king, or whether it be a democracy or a republic, whatever it may be, the basis for it is ordained by God to help keep civilization and to help keep peace. Therefore, we need to submit to the higher powers. And if you do not agree with the higher powers, then you get involved in the system so that you can have people elected or appointed or put in those positions that can be trusted to do the will of the Lord, but not to just be rebellious and cause trouble. Because this is what he's talking about next. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, this is talking about the governmental leaders. Is the minister. That's a worker, a servant. Been appointed, position. We look at some of the rulers that are around the world, even in this country, the presidents and the Congress and even local rulers, and some of them are just filthy, disgusting sinners that you would think aren't worth anything. But they're still important to the Lord. They're in those positions for a purpose. We might look at the current leader that we have of the country or one of the past leaders we have of the country and wonder, well, how can they be a minister of God? They're clearly working for Satan. But that might be exactly what we deserve at this time, because the wrath of God comes upon children of disobedience. And if the wrath of God lets a ruler come into power that can become a real pain in the neck for the people, there's a purpose behind it. Because you go all the way back to when Saul became the leader of the people. He became a tyrant. He became a very nuisance to the people. But there was a purpose for that. The Lord had a purpose for even putting Saul in that position of power. And we look at some of the leaders that we've had in the past. It's like, it's exactly what we deserve because we haven't been serving the Lord the way we're supposed to. So get it right. Get it taken care of. Respect the positions, the offices, not necessarily the individual, but the system. Verse 4 again, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, that's taxes, also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We're supposed to love even the most horrible scoundrel leader that we have. Pray for them, lift them up, pray that the Lord indwell them, to save them, to bring them in alignment to his will. Verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, like we read earlier. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Get things right, keep things right, be a law-abiding citizen, not a riotous troublemaker. Obey the law, bring honor and glory to the Lord, show the love, share the love, and shine the light of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for being the one in ultimate control of everything that's going on in the world. We don't understand everything that's going on. No, not even close. But help us know that you are the supreme ruler of the entire existence of all creation. To submit ourselves, to love you with all of our existence, to love others as ourselves, just as you have instructed us to. And we truly thank you for the love you pour upon us, the grace and mercy you pour upon us each and every day. And thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing us to be able to share that love with others out there, to be a part of your work. It is so awesome. Thank you for it once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.